first, that is a project to provide interoperable voice and data communications, ideally to all first responders in the country. That means police, fire, and EMS. It was established by the federal government back in 2012, in part as a result of the recommendation of the 9/11 Commission that the federal government invest in improving interoperable communications between emergency services after the communications failures that occurred on 9/11 in 2001.
So it's a governmental agency or a corporation?
That's a very interesting question. It is an independent authority under the Department of Commerce in the federal government. And to be honest, I'm not sure anybody knows exactly what that means. It is required to be self-sustaining to keep this network up and running without any additional taxpayer money beyond the $7 billion in seed money that they were given by the federal government when they were started. So they're not relying on taxpayer dollars aside from that startup money, but they do seem to be subject to some federal rules, but not others, and to be under the supervision of the Department of Commerce. But they have a board of directors, which is composed partly of federal employees and partly of independent industry people and partly of first responders or former first responders. So it really is a bit of a thing unto itself. $7 billion from spectrum auctions were made available to FirstNet under the legislation. They were given an advance of $2 billion and up to another $5 billion if the spectrum auctions raised enough money. They did, so FirstNet got a total of $7 billion. $500 million of which they held back for themselves to cover their own expenses and overhead, and $6.5 billion of which they made available to a private sector partner to build out the network.
And that private sector partner is?
So FirstNet chose AT&T as its federal partner for this program. Rivada Networks was one of two other bidders for the federal contract, but the government chose AT&T rather than us.
As I understand the big picture dynamics right now, all states in the union plus six territories have until December 28th to formally declare that they intend to opt out of whatever plans FirstNet / AT&T come up with. If they make no declaration of any kind, it's assumed they're opting in. How would you characterize the level of public awareness about what I understand to be a proprietary broadband network that is interoperable and nationwide?
I think that the level of public awareness of this whole thing is astonishingly low and disappointingly so, because it's a hugely important project for our public safety and potentially for homeland security, and yet it has gotten very little attention overall. And I think the average person on the street is almost certainly not aware that this pivotal decision is facing their state government and their governors, or even that this project is moving forward or how it works.
From what I've been able to gather, New Hampshire so far is the only state to officially opt out of the state plan as proposed by FirstNet in advance of the December 28th deadline. But indications are that the entirety of the West Coast of the continental United States and Colorado mean to explore alternatives as well. Have you any insights as to what officials at the state level find concerning enough to pursue options?
So 20 states have issued RFPs for alternatives across the country. Some of those states have made awards. Some of those states have subsequently decided to opt in. Some of those states' requests for proposals are still outstanding, and some of them have entered into advanced discussions with one or more bidders. Unfortunately, aside from New Hampshire and Colorado, both of whom announced awards to us, and as you said, New Hampshire has subsequently announced an intention to opt out altogether, none of those other states have made public pronouncements, and we're not at liberty to discuss the details of our discussions with any of those states until they say something publicly. But there are certainly more than just little old New Hampshire that is taking seriously the possibility of opting out.
Do you believe that a corporation's history of misconduct should be considered when procuring services with publicly funded money? I ask because according to the Project on Government Oversight's Federal Contractor Misconduct Database, AT&T has been in the top 100 vendors for the United States government, despite paying penalties of more than $300 million, making it seem that they can engage in wrongful behavior at will without consequence, whereas the price the public at large would pay for such practices likely draws prison sentences, and I'm challenged to reconcile the gap.
I do think that past performance should be a factor. My understanding is that past performance was supposed to be a factor in the evaluation of the federal bids. That said, I have no idea what role any past violations or fines by other bidders played in their evaluation. And I think more generally, when you're thinking about teaming up with a carrier to provide emergency communications for 25 years, you should look very closely at how they've performed in emergencies and natural disasters and catastrophes in the past, and have their networks withstood those emergencies? Have they been available to first responders when they needed them?
According to data available at the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, the number of law enforcement professionals run nearly twice the combination of emergency medical technicians and firefighters. Do you expect that those ratios would extrapolate to this network in terms of how it's used?
Perhaps. It's a little bit hard to say. Each of those three groups are going to use this network and wireless data networks generally, I think, quite differently. Sometimes they will, of course, collaborate on multidisciplinary events.
The expression I find entirely concerning when I do encounter discussions regarding FirstNet is prioritization and preemption. When I think about the way preemption is used here, it wants to strike me as eminent domain applied to the internet. And when you stop to consider the fact that the New York Police Department was sued 10 times a day throughout the entire year of 2013, is the power to preempt everybody else's communication placed wisely in hands that have demonstrated some propensity for abuse of their authority?
I think that governance is definitely a very important question when it comes to the use of preemption. I think that there are proper uses for it, but obviously there's the potential for misuse. And this is an example, actually, of what I'm talking about. We've never really had this law enforcement ability to preempt, so we don't know how it would be used. I will tell you that certainly in a lot of countries in the world, I would feel pretty uncomfortable about that. One of the interesting things about this arrangement is that it's not a federally or legally instantiated right of the first responders to preempt. It's actually a kind of contractual arrangement, but it does speak to the need for those commercial arrangements to be monitored and policed and to make sure that that power, which is a potentially very significant one, is used responsibly and where necessary and not for any sort of nefarious or self-serving purpose.
I've been talking with Brian Carney from Rivada Networks. They've been chosen by the state of New Hampshire as the alternative to FirstNet. For KGNU, this is Robin Ryan.